We have the latest now on the deadly terrorist attack in New Orleans early New Year's Day. The FBI says the pickup truck driver responsible for the deadly rampage acted alone. The Bureau also revealed the suspect posted 5 videos on his Facebook account in the hours before the attack, in which he proclaimed his support for ISIS. Let's take you live tonight to Daniel Byman, director of the Warfare, Irregular Threats, and Terrorism Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. We very much appreciate hearing from you tonight, Daniel. We're trying to learn more about how this attacker was radicalized. Was he watching online videos on his own after falling on hard times with financial and personal problems, or whether somehow ISIS reached out to him? Is all of that secondary in your mind to the fact that ISIS is again prominently in the conversation?
So ISIS has been around for a while, just very much diminished and very much behind the scenes. They reached their peak about a decade ago, and they've declined, but they've never gone away. And they still have the capacity, as we saw so tragically, to inspire people. But it does matter whether he was just watching old videos or if there was some active ISIS presence that was directing or at least enabling this. If it's the latter, then we have to worry that there might be more people out there who are being groomed to do attacks in the near term.
I'm wondering if we can go into the mind of this attacker from what we know, or perhaps even more generally, how people become radicalized. I suppose if you're not facing financial troubles, if you didn't go through a divorce, if other challenges didn't present themselves in life, maybe you can take a different path. But what happens to a person when they turn to a group of killers like this for some salvation or some relief?
So ISIS offers its adherents a purpose. And so it tells them that their life and their death will be meaningful if they commit themselves to the cause, that if you fight for the group, if you're raising money for it, if you're otherwise advancing it, you're a hero. And that appeals to lots of different people. It could be someone perhaps like this individual who was facing a very difficult time in his life, but it can also be an impressionable teenager who just wants to look good in front of his buddies. So they have a mix of messages that have appealed to a very different range of audiences over the years.
Had Donald Trump declared ISIS dead during his first term?
So we see this again and again, where there'll be important defeats, such as some of the ones that occurred under President Trump's first term. But it's hard for terrorist groups to be destroyed completely. Sometimes they fade over time. But what happened with ISIS is that it lost its above ground caliphate, but it stayed around in ungoverned parts of the world. It has provinces in places like Afghanistan. So it's definitely diminished, but it's still there.
What kind of concerns do you have now about terrorism threats against the United States within our own borders, not to mention any U.S. interests around the world?
Well, unfortunately, we have to look pretty broadly at lots of different causes. So this latest attack shows that ISIS and jihadists are still around. We saw the attack on and the killing of a healthcare executive by someone with left-wing sympathies. And of course, we've seen tons of anti-government and white supremacist violence. So law enforcement, intelligence officials have their work cut out for them because they have a lot of different enemies to track.
You talked about that white supremacist-oriented violence. Do you think there's been too much emphasis on a right-wing figure associated with January 6th or loyalty to Trump or the Trump movement and forgetting some of the lessons on 9/11? Or do we simply have to juggle all those balls simultaneously?
Unfortunately, it's lots of balls simultaneously. We saw a big spike in anti-government and white supremacist violence in recent years, and that was really crowding out a lot of the jihadist stuff. But none of it ever goes away. In the years after 9/11, we still saw white supremacist violence. So people have to be focused on multiple things at once, which is always hard for any organization, especially government.
We sure appreciate you spending some time with us, Daniel. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having me.
Daniel Byman, Director of the Warfare, Irregular Threats, and Terrorism Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.